Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawa series. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day, and I hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. We aren't finished with the book of Haggai yet. We have one last lesson in this book to look at. Turn with me to the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any other kind of food, does it become holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? And the priests answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing, but from this day on, I will bless you. So this principle of cleanliness versus uncleanliness was obviously well known by the priests in Haggai's day, for they were able to quickly and correctly answer God's question for them. Something that is clean, when it touches the unclean, does not make the second item clean. Indeed, the reverse is true. When something that is unclean touches a clean thing, that second thing, the clean thing, becomes unclean as well. And the examples of clean meat and clean people and unclean meat and dead people prove this. Now, since we today are unfamiliar with clean versus unclean in regards to spiritual matters, let us think about physical matters for a moment. If I have a piece of meat fresh from the butcher, and while preparing it, I accidentally drop it on the floor and then pick up that piece of meat, would the meat make the floor clean? You know instead that the floor has made the meat unclean, and I need to wash it or clean the meat in order to make it ready for cooking and consumption again. So it is with spiritual matters. Something which is clean does not make something that is unclean clean when it touches it unless, and this is crucial, it has the purpose of cleaning it. Take, for example, the meat. Let's return to that, which I dropped on the floor. How does this meat become clean again? For it is possible to clean it. I had to wash it with clean water, thus making the meat clean and ready for consumption. With spiritual matters, God has set up means and ways by which something that is unclean becomes cleaned. If you read the book of Leviticus in chapter 11 through 15, God sets up rules for unclean items to become clean again, mostly through the passage of time and the addition of water. Look with me at the book of Numbers in chapter 19 and verse 11, where we read this. Whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean 7 days. He shall cleanse himself with water on the third day and on the seventh day, and so be clean. But if he does not cleanse himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not become clean. Is it the water that cleanses someone? Is it the passage of time? And the answer is, it's neither. What it is God's instruction and obedience to that instruction. Keep reading with me in the book of Numbers. Whoever touches a dead person, the body of anyone who has died, and does not cleanse himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from Israel. Because the water for impurity was not thrown on him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanliness is still on him. See, it's the water of itself doesn't clean, for it's only thrown on the person. The person isn't washed. The passage of time doesn't clean, because if the person doesn't have the water thrown on them, they aren't clean. And if they wait longer than the 7 days, they're still unclean. What cleanses them is the instruction and obedience. There's a commander of the army of Syria which needed to learn this lesson. If we look at the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5 and verse 8 and following, Naaman is the commander of the army of Syria. He has leprosy and he is sent to Israel because a little girl that was captured said that a prophet could heal him. And so we pick up in verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him, being Naaman, come now to me, that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See, it wasn't the water, because surely Naaman had washed many times before, and yet he still was leprous. He still had the leprosy. And it wasn't the best water, for he could name better rivers easily. And it wasn't the amount of times necessarily that brought about the cleansing. What was it that cleansed Naaman? And the answer is, God did, of course, when Naaman was willing to be obedient. It wasn't just wash in this water. It's not the water. And it wasn't just wash in this water a specific number of times. That wasn't it. It was, God says, do this and you will be cleansed. Remember, the servants come to him and say, "Did the prophet actually say to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" See, that's what cleansed Naaman. God cleansed Naaman when Naaman was willing to be obedient and do what God told him to do. God does the cleansing in his way, not ours. When the Jews built the new temple under Haggai, it wasn't clean because they had built it. And it wasn't clean when they built it. It was cleansed because God made it clean. Just as God made Naaman clean. When Naaman obeyed, he was cleansed. When the Jews built the temple, when they obeyed, God declared them clean. And as such, because of this, he promised to be with them, to bless them, to keep his covenant promises with them, because now they were clean because they had obeyed God, doing what God had told them what to do. Now, when it comes to sin, there's an important lesson to be learned about cleanliness. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. The writer says this, "For since the law of Moses has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." See, the Jews, like the temple, they needed to be cleansed as well, but they needed to be cleansed from their sins. And the problem was, when they offered these sacrifices, they needed to be cleansed again, and again, and again, and again. In fact, there is no end of the sacrifices that needed to be offered by the Jews, because they were continuously needing to have their consciences cleansed. And that's because the blood of bulls and goats doesn't take away sins. They receive forgiveness, but the sins are still on them, and so they need to keep offering the sacrifices. In fact, the Jews to this day are still trying to be cleansed from their sins. The problem is they're not offering sacrifices. So not only are their sins still on them, but they're no longer forgiven of their sins. They're not being obedient to God's commands. Their sins are not being cleansed. However, God does offer a cleansing to us. It is available. If we keep reading with me from verse 5 here in Hebrews 10, verse 5, "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings,' these are offered according to the law. Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Notice that it is the obedience of Christ which brings us cleansing. For the other offerings which God had commanded brought him no pleasure. They brought no pleasure, for while they were commanded, they didn't appease his wrath. What does appease the wrath of God? The answer is the perfect obedient sacrifice of the Son Jesus. And it's through his obedience, not my obedience, not your obedience, but through the Son's obedience that we are cleansed. Look with me, though, at the book of the Epistle of 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 1. John writes this, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, that fancy 50-cent word, propitiation, that word means this: the exact thing that's needed to appease the wrath of God. And John tells us that Jesus is that propitiation for our sins. We are cleansed through Jesus. He appeases the wrath of God. Don't miss, as John tells us, don't miss that this cleansing is for the whole world. But only those who are obedient to Jesus will receive this cleansing. If we return to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, we read in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Remember the obedience part? I keep having to speak about this because remember the Jews weren't being obedient initially. That's why they went into captivity in the first place. That's why Solomon's temple was destroyed by God, because the Jews were being faithless. They weren't being obedient. And then when they came back, they were busy with their lives, living their lives and working their fields, but they weren't gaining anything because they hadn't built God's house. They hadn't built the temple yet. And so here, as under Haggai's instruction, they start building the temple. Now God says, okay, now I'm going to bless you. Now I'm going to walk with you because now you are cleansed, because now you have been obedient. See, this obedience thing runs all the way through this lesson. And I know that's hard for us, especially as Americans, because we're American. We want to do what we want to do. As Christians, we recognize Jesus is Lord. That means we obey him. He's in charge. He's our king. He's our master. We listen to him because what he asks of us is for our good. He has come to give us life, a full life, an abundant life. And so when we follow him, when we obey him, we receive these wonderful blessings, these wonderful gifts. And so here, as we read in the book of Hebrews, when we're obedient to Jesus, we have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. No longer do our sins bother and harass us. No longer does the memory of these things continually come to the forefront like it does for the Jews, right? Because our consciences are cleansed. No longer is our conscience evil, but now we can start living a godly life with a clean conscience. And our bodies, they've been washed with pure water. And we're not talking about taking a shower or taking a bath. What are we talking about? We're talking about baptism, being immersed into Christ. But we also, even though we've confessed and even though we've repented and even though we've been baptized, the writers tells us that we also need to hold fast to our confession. What's the confession that we've made? And we're not talking about confessing sin, but the confession that's made that Jesus is our Lord. We read that in Romans chapter 10, confessing that Jesus is Lord. And so we find here in the book of Romans, we find here that God cleanses us from all sin for all time through Jesus, which we receive when we are baptized into Christ, taking him as our Lord. And thus our consciences are clean as well as our bodies. This is God's command for us. This is God's plan for us. Jesus, he gives us this same command numerous times. We're going to read just one for us this morning. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." See, God, through Haggai, proclaimed the Jews clean after they were obedient to God. They started doing what God had told them to do. Likewise, we Christians, we are clean now when we are obedient to God, starting with confessing Jesus and being baptized into Jesus, into Christ. When we follow him, when we confess him as Lord and we're baptized into him, then the cleansing begins. And so today, for you and I, if you desire to receive the cleansing which Jesus provides through his sacrifice, not through our own, but through his going to the death on the cross for us, he is the propitiation. He is the only thing which appeases the wrath of God. And by his death on the cross, our sins are cleansed from us for all time. We don't need more Jesuses on the cross. We don't need more Jesuses to be sacrificed. His going to the cross, that one time for all time, is all we need, because his death on the cross for us is the propitiation for our sins. That's the significance. That's the importance of his going to the cross. All the bulls, all the goats, those didn't work for the Jews. But for us Christians, our consciences are clear. The sins that we have committed, they've been removed from us. They are forgiven. And so we walk in joy through life because we have taken Jesus as our Lord and we are obedient to him. If you desire to receive the cleansing which Jesus provides, be baptized into Jesus today. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. Thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721 is my phone number. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Many times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. To be content, for
fills me with His Spirit, always knows what's best. And the one who loves me makes me richly blessed.